I'll try to keep it short so that we leave here before it gets dark. And so if you'd like to turn in your Bibles with me to 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 18. And in the last couple of messages, we've been looking at the early life of young King David. And I'd like to continue on this evening with that subject. I'd just like to read from 1 Samuel chapter 18 and just the first four verses. And it says this, "And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword and his bow and to his girdle." Let's just pray before we look at God's word this evening. Let's pray, eh? Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us all here tonight, and we thank you that we can come here to sing praises to you, and Lord, to honour your name, and Lord, to open the word of your word to us, the Bible. And we pray tonight that you will just illuminate your word to us, that you will show us new truths, and you'd show us, Lord, new ways that we can live our lives to honour and glorify you. We thank you for this time this evening, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, this evening I'd like to carry on with this topic of the young King David. This was before he was a king, when he was just a young man. And as I read these verses here, the first four verses in chapter 18, I see a wonderful picture here of friendship, a friendship that begins. Now, I'm probably not the best person to preach on the subject of friendship. There's a lot of people, even here this evening, that are much greater friends than what I could be to you. But I have a lot of good friends all over the country. It's a blessing to have good Christian friends. It is a great blessing. But I must say, and I must admit this, that my friends don't get a lot of gifts. I don't ring and check how they are going as much as I probably should. My friends are probably very poorly maintained when you think of good friends. But, do you know, there's something special about seeing a friend that you haven't seen for a long time. And maybe that's why I leave it so long between visits. But this evening, there's something special about friends. There is really something special, and I believe that God wants us to have good friends. And so I would like to look this evening at the subject of friends. And this is right in line with where we're at in our passage, looking at the young King David. Now, friends can have a great influence on our lives. I believe the people who we choose as friends can influence our lives. They can influence the decisions we make in life. They can even change our goals in life and even our calling in life. The people we choose to have as our friends, they can influence whether we will live a life that honours God or not. Friends can be people that encourage us and build us up, or they can be people that pull us down. Friends can be the influence that spur us on in our Christian lives to live for the Lord, or they can be the ones that make us fall into sin. This is why friends are so important. As a young person growing up, if you're here and you're a young person here, the friends you choose now can set in motion the path of your life. I believe it's very important. And so, as we start to look here at the young David, he is still young here, and in 1 Samuel chapter 18, I'll just read again this first two verses where we start off here, and it says, "And it came to pass that when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul, and Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house." If we remember where David came from, this day David went from the paddock to the palace. David was a shepherd boy. He went from being a shepherd boy this day to being a soldier for King Saul. When two people become good friends, there's usually a connection that they make. I've called my first point here the connecting glue. And it's just something so to remember. It's not really the connecting glue, but what connects friends together? What is it? Now, there's a few things that it can be. The first thing it can be is it can be the place they both end up. Maybe they've gone away from home and they've ended up in a certain place and they become friends. I've heard of friends of mine that went to university and then they made friends at university. Other friends have gone to a different place and become married, and then they've developed friends from that place. It can be a circumstance that these people both find themselves in that brings them together as friends. It can also be something that they both have in common. And here we find that King Saul had just finished talking to David. If we read the last chapter, we would know that David had come back to the camp after fighting Goliath. And King Saul had asked whose son was this young man, and he'd asked David to come in to speak with him. And we see here that at this point, David and Jonathan here become great friends. It just seems like a point in their lives that they've ended up in the same place, and they saw something in one another that provoked a great friendship, and this friendship would last for the rest of their lives, or at least for Jonathan's lifetime, because David outlived Jonathan. Their friendship would be based on the fact that they both loved God. The most important thing, I think, we can remember as choosing a friend is that they love the Lord. Friends, close friends, should love the Lord. I think we need to set that up as a prerequisite, for our lives, that we actually have it as real close friends have got to be ones that love the Lord, because they will be the ones who we ask advice to. They're going to give us direction, and that direction needs to come from biblical counsel and from the things of the Lord. You know, as I was a young fellow growing up at Coffs Harbour, there's some of the young fellows that I grew up with, and the young people, they chose friends that didn't love the Lord. And sadly, when I look back, these people who chose those friends no longer go to church, no longer speak the name of the Lord. And sadly, they've gone right away from the things of the Lord. Friends are very important. Very, very important. But this was not the case for David and Jonathan. Many years later, we read the confirmation of their friendship being around the Lord in 1 Samuel 23 and verse 16. Just a few pages over. And this is many years later. We read this. 1 Samuel 23:16. It says this, "And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God." What a wonderful picture we see there of encouragement. If we looked further, and we'll look further at this story later, but King Saul, Jonathan's father, was chasing David. And he was jealous of him. And his son Jonathan went into the woods where David had to hide, and he strengthened his hand in God. He encouraged him in the things of the Lord. That's one of the greatest things of a great friend, is encouragement. A true friend will encourage you in the things of the Lord. They'll encourage you to read God's word and to pray, to put God first. They'll encourage you to follow the Lord in your choices in life. You know, Proverbs 27:17, you don't need to turn there, I'll just read it. It says this, it says, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." A good friend will sometimes even make you smile. A good friend will encourage you. When you leave spending time with a good friend, you will feel refreshed. You will feel sharper. You will feel that God is doing a work in your life. If they encourage you in the things of the Lord, you can leave there feeling that God can use you to do great things. Why? Because of a friendship that builds us up, strengthens us in the Lord, just as Jonathan did here for David. It says he strengthened his hand in God. When two people form a friendship, usually they have something in common. And I've called my second point the common ground. The common ground. It actually, in this particular passage, it doesn't actually say the exact reasons why this friendship became strong so quickly, but when you read the rest of the story, they had a fair bit in common. These two young men had lots in common. Now, the first thing they had in common was their battles with the Philistines. You've got to admit, at this time, the young King David had just come back from defeating Goliath, which to the Israelite army was an enormous thing, because it was like something that nobody could do. And you know that Jonathan, not very much before this, had even gone and fought against the Philistines himself. And he was in constant battle with the Philistines under his father. But even he himself had valiant fights against the Philistines, and some of them were even on his own. Do you know, earlier we read, we would read that Jonathan, in 1 Samuel, Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistines that was in Geba, and the Philistines heard of it. Pastor spoke on this, mentioned it a few weeks ago, that Jonathan sort of took it on himself, and he went and took on a small garrison of the Philistines. And it could have even been that his actions back then had stirred up the battle that David and the Israelites were fighting right then. That could have well been the actual cause of it. But we see that both David and Jonathan were valiant men, valiant fighters, weren't they? Now, we could read many times when Jonathan went and attacked the Philistines. Even in 1 Samuel 14, it says, "And it came upon a day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto the young man that bare his armour, Come, let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side. But he told not his father." And again, he did the same thing again. He went and took out a little garrison of the Philistines just on his own with himself and his armour bearer. And so both of them were valiant men of war. And the Philistines were the enemies of the Israelites. There's no doubt about that if we read through this passage. And the second thing I'd like to see that they had in common was they must have been around about the same size. Now, I've taken a little bit of liberty to try and bring this about, because we see that Jonathan took off some of his clothing and gave it to David. And we'll look at this a little bit later on, but Jonathan actually took off some of his clothes and gave it to David. Now, it's one of two things. Either they were the same size fellows, they could do that, or David was a very good friend who was very caring, and he wouldn't not accept it, and he just wore it and it was too big. There was either one or the other. But either way, we see that I think they were average size fellows, because if you have a look at the story here, when, if you remember back to when Saul tried to give David his armour, and we know that Saul was head and shoulders above the people, we know that Saul's armour was way too big for David. So we know that David wasn't a very big man. And then when we look at when Samuel went to anoint David to be the next king, the Lord said to Samuel, when Samuel went to anoint Eliab, he said, "Look not on his countenance nor on the height of his stature, because I have refused him." Eliab must have been a tall man. And it says in the end of that chapter that they sent and they brought him in. That's David. And it says, "Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, Arise and anoint him, for this is he." Now there's no mention here of his size as there was with Eliab. And so if I was to say, I would say that they were probably around the same size fellows. They were probably the same sort of size. Now, I've had friends that are a different size than me. I don't think that's a prerequisite. It's just a side thing that I thought was interesting. Because when you think of the Jonathan giving him his robe, you would think that they were much the same size. And Saul, being head and shoulders above all the people, stood out for his size. Then the next thing I think they had in common, they were both in line for the throne. Jonathan, by birth, being the king's son, and David being anointed by God to be the next king. They were really both, in their own way, in line for the throne of Israel. And we read confirmation of this later in 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 31, because King Saul, when he was chasing David, he said this to Jonathan. He said, "For as long as the son of Jesse liveth upon the ground, thou shalt not be established, nor thy kingdom." Jonathan was next in line for the throne by birth. Now we know what would happen, and Jonathan would not take the throne, but he was next in line. Now, whether that everybody knew or not that David had been anointed as the next king, I'm not sure. It doesn't tell us exactly. But it does seem as if Jonathan possibly knew that David would be the next king. And I would like to establish this by what we read next. And it's in verse 3, 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 3. "Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul." I've called this next point the covenant given. The covenant given. You know, there's a certain trust between friends. There's a trust of confidence. There's a trust of trusting that person probably more than we'll trust another. Friends must be trustworthy. Don't ever confide in a friend that you cannot trust. Friends must be able to be trusted. And I think Jonathan and David saw this in each other. They saw that they could trust each other. And now this covenant, I'm pretty sure it was an agreement between them that if anything happened to either of them, they would look after one another's family. Now, the reason I've said this is because in 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 42, it says, "And Jonathan said to David, Go in peace, for as much as we have sworn, both of us, in the name of the Lord, saying, The Lord be between me and thee, and between my seed and thy seed forever." Jonathan and David made a covenant that they would look after each other and each other's family. They both looked after one another. There's many, many verses we could go over how they looked after each other. Jonathan many times came and told David that his father was after him and told him to retreat and to get out of the palace. There was many times, I could read it probably five or six times, but we won't go into all them tonight. And then we read many years later, and I'm sort of skipping down the story just to prove this, the point about them making this covenant to look after each other. It says that King David honoured this covenant later on when he became king. It says in 2 Samuel 21 verse 7, "But the king spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because of the Lord's oath that was between them, between David and Jonathan, the son of Saul." We see that after Jonathan's death, that David looked after Mephibosheth. And if we read on further, it said that he had him come and eat at his table. He honoured the covenant, or that promise he made to his friend. And it's very honourable that friends make the decision to actually honour each other. And so we see here that David and Jonathan, their souls were knit together, they became great friends, they made a covenant, and then we see here, as we've already mentioned in verse 4, "And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him, and he gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword, and to his bow, and to his girdle." I've called this point the clothing gift. The clothing gift. Jonathan, after this, he actually took off his robe. Now, you've got to understand here, David had just returned from fighting Goliath. And it tells us back in the previous passage that he just had his shepherd's clothes on, and he would have had his sling and his staff and his scrip where he carried his little bag. And this sign that Jonathan gives to David, his clothing, it's a sign that he's actually becoming a great friend, but he's putting the prince's clothing off himself and onto David. It's a wonderful picture here. You've got to admit, God planned this friendship that they would have together, and it would be a great friendship. You know, friends give. Friends give to one another. Jonathan gives his clothing. His clothes are removed. David's dusty garments are replaced with garments fit for a king. His staff is replaced with a sword. His scrip is replaced with a girdle. His sling is replaced with a bow. These are all clothes that belong to a prince. And it says here that Jonathan stripped himself. He took what he had and he gave. A picture of selfless giving. Sometimes, as friends, we need to strip away what has broken our friendship with one another. Strip away the pride that is stopping us restoring fellowship with our friend. You know, strip away our flash garments of pride that sometimes stop us from befriending a fellow Christian who is struggling. Do you know, in a church, in a body of believers, we need to go out of our comfort zone to be a friend to that person who needs a friend. You know, so often, and I'm guilty of this more than anyone, we're happy to sort of stay in our own little circle. It's very hard to go and to be a friend to that person who hasn't got a friend. And it shouldn't be. Do you know, it reminds me of what the greatest friend of all did. Do you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, he left heaven's glory. He gave up his heavenly body. He took on the form of a servant. I'd just like to read these verses that describe this out of Philippians. It says this, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This was the greatest gift ever given. The greatest gift a friend could give. Jesus, the friend of sinners. He died to pay the price for your sin and for my sin. You know, John 15:13 says this, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Have you received this great gift from the greatest friend of all? Have you come to that point in your life where you've put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that he has paid the price for your sin? Have you accepted the fact that he died for you in your place? He shed his perfect, sinless blood on that cross to pay the price for your sin and for mine. I wonder if you come to that point tonight. Have you come to that point in your life where you can remember that you have accepted that gift from the greatest friend of all? If you can't remember that time, don't put it off. Don't put it off. Trust him as your Saviour. You know, Proverbs 18:24 says this, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. The Lord Jesus Christ will be closer than a brother if you'll only trust him as Saviour. He died for you and me in our place. We should have paid the price for our own sin, but he's done it for us if we will but accept that free gift he offers. Just as David had to accept that robe from Jonathan, to have this great gift from God, we have to accept it. We've got to accept it for ourselves. We can't rely on our family. We can't rely on our spouse. We can't rely on our best friends that if he has come to know the Lord that it'll just act naturally happen for me. No. Everyone has to make that decision for themselves. It says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you know this friend? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour tonight? We can have friends, we can have good friends, but nothing passes having the greatest friend of all. He will never let us down. Earthly friends will always let us down, but the Lord Jesus Christ, he will never let us down. He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Have you made that decision tonight? I trust you have. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for the lessons from your word, and we thank you for these young men, David and Jonathan, that formed this great friendship that would last for many years. We thank you for the lessons we can learn from it. But Lord, we thank you for coming to this earth and for dying on the cross and shedding your blood so that we can be saved and so that we can be counted as your friend. Lord, we thank you for this great gift that you have given. Lord, help if there's one here that doesn't know you as Saviour tonight, they would come to know you as Saviour. We pray, Lord, that you would bless the rest of our time this evening and bless our fellowship afterwards. We thank you for this time in Jesus' name. Amen.